November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Biz Radio, Kent Business Radio and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, July the 18th, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous, Martin White.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the show.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we're here for. It's entertainment, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we've got loads more emails still coming and loads of tweets. So I'm going to read a tweet. You're going to read an email. Mm. And we've got some more interesting guests to talk to later. And Denise. That was horrible, wasn't it? You were waiting for that. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
So lovely.
Yeah. I had a tweet from Neil at FMRC. Business Bunker shout out, please, for Fraud Management Resource Centre, helping organisations fight fraud. And listening to the show, and it's going well. So it answers your question. So that's the Fraud Management Resource Centre. And you can follow them on the Twitter at FMRC_inquiry.
Hax the filmmaker has been on the Twitter saying hello and how much he enjoyed working with Denise just before we came on live on the show today. So hi, Hax. Right. Good to see you on there.
I've got a tweet from Terry Botfield as well.
Oh, Terry.
Yeah, he says, hi, Paul, can we have a shout-out, please, for business support in Romney Marsh and adjacent areas? Check out our new website, which is botfieldassociates.co.uk. That's B-O-T-F-I-E-L-D, botfieldassociates.co.uk.
I had a meeting with Terry week before last. He's doing some really interesting stuff, actually, down there on the marsh. Mm. So keep a lookout for that, but I'm sure we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. We've got a shout-out for Kent Space, our lovely landlords here where the studio is based. And they say, can we have a shout-out, please, for our networking event tomorrow evening from 5:30? And we look forward to seeing you all there. Well, I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. Are you coming?
When's that?
Tomorrow.
5:30.
There's tomorrow.
Nibbles and drinks.
There's nibbles and drinks. And networking. And that's just Martin.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I'd have to check my diary.
Denise, come on.
Kent Space. Wootton Road, Ashford, 5:30 tomorrow.
Be there.
Otherwise, we'll send Martin around to collect you.
The Letraset building.
It's
building
okay. He'll never come up to Medway to get me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too far, isn't it?
No, not at all.
He's not allowed in Medway,
we'll
is he?
Pick you up.
I asked him to come to a wine evening.
Did you?
And he was saying it was too far.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. How are you, Rowena, by the way? And when is Rowena's next event? Have we just missed one?
15th of August. That's
August.
The one I was asking you.
Rowena Horseman.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Cheese and wine.
Now, what Rowena doesn't know about wine isn't worth knowing.
Rowena's coming on the show in a couple of weeks' time, so we're going to find out.
She's brilliant. She's effervescent.
Is she?
Did you get the link there? Effervescent? Sparkling? Wine? No? Okay. There seem to be more and more networking things happening on a Friday. Mm-hmm. We know all about Slope Off Friday, and the next one is on the 4th of August at the Faversham Creek Hotel with the lovely Jules and Andrew. Jules, if she's
if
out
she
of
can
hammock.
Untangle her foot from her hammock, yeah.
But there's another one, another networking monthly that started on a Friday, and that's called Friday Networking Not Working. So Friday Not Working.
I see what they did there.
Yeah, it's clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clever. And that's the guys from E-commerce Workroom in Canterbury.
Oh, Neil and the Tribe.
Yeah, based next to Fruitworks.
Absolutely.
And they run...
Are they staying there, by the way? Because I heard that the old Brewery Business Centre had been put up for auction.
Not that I'm aware of. Neil hasn't been talking about that, so... Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, you may be right. I'll have to bend his ear on that one. But the next Friday Not Working is on Friday the 11th of August. So that's a week after the next Slope Off Friday.
And you should just about be sober by then.
And it's at the Foundry Pub, which is a brilliant pub.
It's again, the other side of Fruitworks.
The other side of Fruitworks.
Exactly.
So there's a bit
we're
of a,
surrounded by them.
Bit of a Fruitworks sandwich going on there.
Yeah.
And actually, that's if you're somebody that's sort of in media, if you're in a creative business, it's a very kind of creatively focused group that they've got running there. So you might be a printer, for example. You might be a graphic designer. You might be a web person. It really is designed for very creative businesses to get together and bounce off each other and network and ultimately collaborate and form partnerships and do business. So the way to book on is you can either contact E-commerce Workroom directly. They are on Eventbrite, or, of course, they are in the community section of Supply My Business.
Fantastic. I've got an email here from, it's about a development in Canterbury. And a Canterbury development has won a top accolade at Housing Design Awards. Mountfield Park Development in South Canterbury has been presented with the inaugural Best Neighbourhood Award at the prestigious annual Housing Design Awards. Over the next 15 years, they are building 4,000 new homes at Mountfield Park, 1,200 of which will be classified as affordable homes. Together with business space, extensive new parkland, woodland, local shops, two new schools, a doctor's surgery, a community meeting space, and land has also been set aside to build a new hospital and to improve the transport infrastructure. And the Independent Housing Design Awards promote innovation and quality in housing design, as well as praising the quality of the architecture planned for Mountfield Park. The judges have also noted the sensitive way the design reflected the area's fruit-growing heritage and the thoughtful way in which the site's undulating landscape has influenced the design solution. Very nice.
Tented and Twilight have been on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they must be desperate for the loo. Did you get that link?
Yeah, I got the link there when I was one.
Because they're wondering when the lovely Denise Wilton is going to get the opportunity to talk. So we've got a very interesting, or it will be once they let Denise Wilton get on to talk.
Wait for it, Laura. So wait for it. Patience.
If you need to pop to the loo.
Yeah, now's your chance, because Denise will be on in exactly 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
There's a lovely one in Tenterden. It's got a few kebab scrapings on the floor.
No. When I eat my kebab in that toilet, mate, there are no droppings, let me tell you.
The lovely Denise will be on shortly. But in the meantime, there's lots of other things to read out.
There is, so read one.
Oh, thanks.
That's all right.
Okay, we're thinking a little bit further ahead now, but the lovely people, the brilliant people from Best Business Events who put on Grow Kent have got the construction expo happening before that at the Kent Event Centre at Stetling on Thursday the 5th of October. Well, I think my mic's just come back on.
Mm.
It's 8:30 to 4:30. It's a free conference and exhibition. And I know for a fact there's an awful lot of business, Paul, that gets done at the Construction Expo up at Detling.
It's a good event.
It's a really good event. So if you are in any way operating in the construction sector, get yourselves along to that. Thursday the 5th of October at the Kent Event Centre, a free conference and exhibition. And actually, I think the details of that are on the Kent Business Radio website. So people can have a look on there, and there's probably a booking link to that as well. Or you can give the lovely Penny a ring directly. But I won't read out the number because you won't remember it.
No. But Best Business tab on Kent Business Radio website, and all of the details are there, and you can click through and book from there.
Cracking event.
I've had an email from the lovely Gemma Sharp. Hi, Paul. I was hoping you could give us a shout-out on the 18th of July show to wish me luck for my Duke of Edinburgh supported assessment later this week. By the end of the week, I will hopefully be signed off as a competent to be able to assess young people competing the expedition part of their Duke of Edinburgh award at bronze and silver level. Whilst the focus on my business is aimed at developing adults and those in the workplace, I am always keen to be involved in developing the skills of students preparing to enter the workforce. I've been involved in a few school events recently, and the Duke of Edinburgh Award offers such a brilliant opportunity for young people to achieve something outside of their normal studies. I believe it equips them with valuable employability skills and that they can promote on their CVs and job applications. So I'm really excited to be able to get involved as a qualified assessor. It would be great if you could give me a mention. So that's from Gemma Sharp, and that's from Lord Dean Learning. And for some reason, I've got this email in bright yellow, and I can't read the website now because it's too...
printed out funny, is it?
Yeah, it's printed out funny.
Change your toner.
Yeah, but LordDeanLearning.co.uk, I think, LORDEN, is the name of the website. So do check that out.
Can we go from one Gemma to another?
If you really must.
Gemma Fairclough Haynes, mm-hmm. at Gemma Fairhay on the Twitter, is our resident HR expert, all things employment law related. And Gemma actually runs a monthly course for business owners who don't necessarily employ their own in-house HR dedicated person. So this enables managers within a business that actually have responsibility to, for that function, to keep abreast of the law and make sure that they're ticking the boxes with employee handbooks, contracts, for example, of employment, working hours, all sorts of stuff. Her next one is on the 7th of August. It's at the Regus offices in Kings Hill. It includes lunch, and to book on, you just need to email Gemma at info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk. That's info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. Good luck with that, Gemma.
Fantastic. Yes, good luck, Gemma. That's really brilliant. She does some fantastic workshops. We're going to talk to our next guest now.
Gosh, that was quick.
Mm.
It was a transition.
Absolutely.
Who
do you like that?
Who have we got on?
Do you not know?
No.
Let me introduce you.
Okay.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show the absolutely lovely Denise Wilton of the My Land Focus. Denise, welcome onto the show.
Thank you.
We're going to get you to explain what it is you do and all the rest of it, but I want to read a tweet, which I think you might want to incorporate in what you're talking about. And it's a tweet for some lovely folks called Innovation Tribe. And their Twitter handle is Innovation Adam. So it'll be from Adam and Joe.
Yeah.
And there's a two-part tweet. And the first part said, after last week's 400% increase in website hits, pure simply to a shout-out on the Business Bunker show, thank you, we'd like to ask a question. We'd like to know from listeners on their views on where social media has already worked for them and also where it goes wrong.
Okay.
So I wanted to read that tweet out. Do give the Innovation Adam a follow on the Twitter. And hit their website up again, because we like getting people's websites hit up. But I wanted to read that tweet because I know that's something that you and I, Denise, have talked about a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a fundamental part of some of the things you do in your business. But start off by telling the listener what it is you actually do.
Okay. So what I do currently is I'm a business and marketing consultant. So I may work with businesses on their business strategy, business mentoring, right through to writing copy, giving training on social media, audience profiling. I handle PR campaigns. I'm quite creative. So I think of strategic ideas of how to launch businesses and new brands. But a lot of my work at the moment is really with social media training and audience profiling. And that's really going back to my background is as a marketer. So I'm Chartered Institute of Marketing qualified. And initially, so when we first met just over a year ago, I had no intention of doing social media training. But it became evident to me that the techniques that I was using in my own business to promote myself were working very effectively for me. So although I've spent 25 years helping people with direct mail shots and email shots, getting out at exhibitions and all of those kinds of things, the most effective way to market my new business was through social media. So I talk a lot about that to people currently.
Absolutely. So I agree with you 100%. The same for me. Since I adopted social media as one of my strategies for marketing, it has produced enormously beneficial returns to me. I sometimes claim with no evidence whatsoever, but when do I ever need evidence, that 80% of my income streams are derived initially from social media. But you and I have talked about this an awful lot.
Mm.
There's a lot of social media so-called experts out there that claim to be social media experts.
Well, I don't claim to be an expert.
No, absolutely. And I'm not for one minute suggesting that you do claim that. What the thing I like about you in this context is that a lot of social media people out there go, you know, we'll teach you how to use social media.
Yeah.
And then you look at their profile and you go, but you don't know yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're coming from it from a really proper business point of view, which is a marketing strategy.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So the way that I started and the advice that I give to clients is pretty much what worked for me as one person trying to market herself without any other help and really on no budget whatsoever. So a lot of the businesses that I meet in Kent are very similar. And I had a grand total of 8 followers on Twitter just over a year ago.
And now she's got nine.
I've got a few more now, yes. And I have a very engaged following. And I work very hard, actually, to communicate with all sorts of people. So predominantly I have my target audience that I identified from the start. And that's typically where people go wrong. So they learn how to sort of broadcast, that, how to do a tweet, but they're not thinking about who they're approaching and the kinds of messages and conversations that they need to have with them that has that softly approach where eventually people ask them about the business. So I've never proactively gone out and sold myself. I've just built relationships online with the right people.
Right, okay. One of the things I want to tell people as well, because you see this sometimes when people advertise themselves as consultants, that a lot of people can be fairly wary of that. You know, okay, so you're an expert in one field.
Yeah.
But you, I happen to know, have been a senior executive of a fairly substantial company as well.
I was a managing director of a 3.6 million waste and recycling company, which is another story. I spent 9 years there growing the company. So I know a lot about business. I know about managing staff. I've dismissed people. I've dealt with people that have tried to defraud
the company. She dismisses me on a regular basis. I have to tell you, go away.
So I know about year-end accounts, nominal codes. I'm very detailed, strategic and analytical. So when I'm looking at businesses, I'm doing exactly that. I'm looking at their analytics. I'm looking at how... So going back to the original question about social media working... I've worked with clients and proven that Twitter specifically, so I do tend to be a bit of a Twitter girl, but people that have been advised to use Facebook, because Facebook is so much easier in that if you pay money to Facebook and do promoted posts and adverts, you can actually define how much money someone earns, where they live, what their interests are. So it's a lazy marketer's approach, to be honest. And also, because it's adverts and promoted posts, most people learn how to filter them out. Yeah. So I don't think they're as effective. And I've been able to see that the traffic that people get through from Facebook to their website show far less buying behaviour when they actually get there. Mm. Whereas the people that they're engaging with on Twitter will be looking around the website, they'll be looking at products, and they're really making buying decisions on the back of that.
Yep.
But Denise mentioned a key word in all of that that we kind of glanced over, which is relationships.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to say in my own way, is that for me, I agree 100% with Denise about Twitter. I've got accounts on lots of social media platforms, but for me, Twitter works, and a lot of the others don't really. Mm. And you can manage Twitter. You can't manage Facebook. Facebook does what it wants, when it wants. And, you know, I put up two posts that were almost identical on a page on Facebook the other day. One of them got 1,700 views and the other one got 4. But, you know, within 5 minutes of each other. And that's purely down to what Facebook decided to do with their algorithm in terms of who they showed it to.
That's the problem, I think, with Twitter is far less affected. Yeah. And because it is about those relationships.
Absolutely.
It's about people.
It's a two-way conversation,
well,
isn't it?
You gradually get to know what people do. So you will, you know, you will check out their feed and you will see, okay, Denise does X, Y, Z. Mm. But I've never pushed it down people's throats. It really has been about a genuine interest in what they're doing. Mm. And I make an effort to remember. So
now,
I'm
that
not...
takes time and effort.
It does.
And that's the issue,
isn't it? Mass marketing approach, is it?
You know, So companies do struggle a little bit with that, but there are ways that they can do it on a pared-down version, which is, you know, to really only have conversations with those people that you really want to talk to. I talk to people all over the world, and I like to talk to people that make me laugh, and that's important to me, but then I've got a very different ethos about my company. For other people that I advise, you know, I say it's really about, you know, you want to be identifying the owners of particular industry sectors, businesses that you're talking to, and then you'll build it from there.
I want to put something to you, and you can agree or disagree or whichever way, but for me, one of the things that drive me nuts is that people, allegedly in business, will say to me, yeah, I haven't got time for social media. Really?
Yeah.
Make time. Make time above anything else you're doing, because what you're doing is talking to your customers.
Yeah.
The single biggest way that I look at this, and it's probably because I'm old, yeah? Many years ago when I first started my business, none of this existed. If you wanted to get in front of a mass audience, you had to take a television advert or a radio advert or maybe a newspaper advert at a huge cost.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, I remember back in the day taking a page advert in the Sunday Times and it was £45,000 for a one-page advert, that was a substantial amount of money to put you in front of a couple of 100,000 people. The Business Bunker Show, each week on one Tuesday, gets between 2 and 3 million engagements. That's the what the analytics show us. To have bought that in television terms 30 years ago would have cost you an absolute fortune. It's now free. And you're talking to an audience, and people are going, oh, I've got time for that. And you think, well, what are you doing?
It's when I explain, because I obviously get a lot of people that come to me with their ideas about what marketing is and what they need to do. So I'll have some people that will want to do an advert. I'll get other people that will be PR. It will be direct mail shots. And then I just say to them, well, how many customers do you need to sell to in order to make enough money to move forward in the next 6 months? And for most people, it's sort of 10 to 20 at a smaller level. And I say, so you only need to really be talking to 20, 30 people that you've identified as needing your products or services on social media and talking to them regularly for them to buy from you. So why would you waste your efforts? You know, it takes so much longer to send a letter to someone that you've never met that comes across as very cold, and then it might be on email. And then if you're doing an advert as well, you know, it just takes so much longer. Whereas with social media, literally within 4 months, people knew me in Kent who'd never met me before. And a lot of those people, you know, had never met me personally.
I think a lot of people are frightened by it, aren't they? I think still a lot of people that say, I haven't got time for social media, people that are making excuses for not using social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's scary, isn't it?
It's a smokescreen because they don't understand it.
Well, Twitter is incredibly hard to understand when you just look at it as this feed of tweets. And I remember being really scared about it. And I was really lucky. I went on training with Zoe Cairns. So ZC Media, when she first started out, you know, it was Zoe that taught me what's a tweet and what's a post and all of that. But it's really only in the last year that I've thought about the psychology behind social media, and that's really what's at the heart of the marketing of it.
I think Martin's right, and you get, this is what I see from people. You get people that dismiss it, social media and Twitter especially, because they're scared. They don't know how it works. Then you get the quite right, the assumption that there's a lot of nasty people on Twitter. There's a lot of vile trolling, and there's a lot of heavyweight political kicking about. But that's crucial, and that's where someone like Denise comes in here, because the very first lesson you tell people is, why are you tweeting or putting out social media? Is it a business thing or is it a personal thing? And if it's business, stick to business.
Yeah.
Don't get involved in political arguments. Don't get involved in football, religion, or any of the other things that start a row, because that's not what business you're in. You know, just stay away from it. And I know that's I have to bite my tongue so hard sometimes.
And sometimes you don't.
And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I let go. I let go at someone last night because I just thought, I'm not having this anymore. This crap. And I just went
but
for
people
it.
People like a little bit of personality as well. And I think that's important. Yeah. You can't just be this automated business account. You have to have a heart to it as well.
But Paul's right. I mean, you know, remember, you are your brand.
Yeah.
And if you look on Facebook, if you contrast that with Facebook, for example, and the posts that some people who are running a business will actually put out on Facebook on a kind of personal level, you think, crikey, you know, you do know how that reflects on you, don't you, when you make a comment like that.
Yeah. But I think that's the confusion when you've got social media, which is, and I'm very careful about that. So my Facebook account is my family and friends. And I don't really want everyone that I meet in business to be connected on there, because everything will fill my feed with what they're doing. And actually, the people that I care about, I can't see. Yeah.
So keep them separate. That's good advice.
I think
absolutely.
So.
Yeah. There's nothing stopping you having multiple accounts either.
But that's, as you said earlier, it's confusing nowadays to have someone will contact you on email. You might have the same person continue that conversation that they started on email on a direct message through Twitter. Yeah. And then they might text you. And it's really confusing to keep on top of it all.
But going back to the heart of what this is all about, for me, is about making the right connections. For me, business is all about making the right connections. Yep, it's all about talking to the right people.
Absolutely.
I always say to people, the business is always out there. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do. It's just a question of connecting with the right people. And Twitter is a great way to
You do need a strategy as well, because, you know, if you just follow anyone, and there are some people that say, you know, you just follow by its multiples of numbers, and I do tweets on that as well, which is, you know, I don't think that works, because you're much better off contacting a few people.
But your example was totally relevant, because you said, look, you sit down with a business owner and you say, look, how many clients, how many businesses, how many customers do you need to work with in the next 6 months to take your business to where you want to take it? And the answer is 20 to 30.
Yeah.
Well, you can identify those 20 to 30 customers on Twitter quite easily, can't you? And
you
can then build that relationship with them and make the right connections.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I don't want to just talk about social media, although I personally feel that social media is incredibly important. It's an incredibly useful and robust platform to do stuff. But it is about understanding the fundamentals of business.
Yeah.
And I see that missing. There's so many small businesses that don't seem to understand the business 101, the basics of, you know, you have a product or service that costs you X amount, and unless you sell it for X amount plus, you're never going to make a profit.
Yeah.
And you're never going to make any money. And too many people try to give things away or try to build a business that doesn't have a product or service.
Well, you're talking about, you know, the four, how I grew up, and I'm sure Denise did as well, with Mr. Kotler, you know, the four P's of marketing, which are, you know, product, price, place, promotion. And when people, promotion comes at the very end when you've actually got something to sell at a price point that people want to buy.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's where audience profiling comes into it as well, because if you understand the different types of audiences that you can sell to with the different types of products, it makes it much easier as a business to say, do you know, selling this to these type of people just takes too much time, too much money. I'm going to ignore that for a little bit and concentrate my efforts over this side. And the people that I've done that with recently have completely changed their business ethos, so who they're contacting. They've even changed their websites, and they've got much stronger businesses as a result of it, because they know exactly what they can sell, what messages they need to give to those people, and how to identify them. And the problem with social media is that people will think, social media is the way to promote yourself, and it's very effective. Of course it is. It's fantastic. But you need to understand what you're doing with it and what you're selling, because if you've still got a broad message on there, it's still a broad message which is going to get lost in thousands of people. Whereas if you're actually saying, you know, I offer tech support and it is specifically for people that work in this industry, and they're the people you're talking that to, that's when it's going to work.
But I think business owners generally, and again, this I think this is at the heart of it, are just very bad at talking to people about what they do. They're just not very good at doing it. You know, that is the bottom line. And for me, marketing is all about making it easy for me to buy what you're selling. That, for me, is the be-all and end-all of marketing.
Well, one of the other things that I wanted to raise about Denise is that she's a witch.
Am I?
And I know she's a witch because I saw a picture of her dressed as one a few weeks ago. Because Denise is also, in another life, an actress.
Yes.
Yeah. And that kind of ties in a little bit, in a circular way, with what you're saying, because another one of my pet rants is about public speaking and about being able to present yourself in the world. And it's one of those things that far too many people shy away from in business. And it's a skill that really, really, really is important, as far as I'm concerned, that you have to be able to present yourself in public. I don't mean give huge, rambling, formalized speeches. You don't want to do that. But it's to be able to rock up at a networking meeting and give a concise overview, what it is you do, in an interesting way.
But that doesn't have to be you, the business owner. Mm. You can find someone in the business that will do that for you.
You can.
But the reality is, you know.
But I believe that if you own a business, you should be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
In person. You see, I disagree. I don't think you have to be.
No, I didn't say you had to be. I said you should.
Mm. I think it can help. I think it can help. I don't think you have to be able to do
it. I'm with you, Paul.
There are enough people out there talking already that you can be one of those quiet, stealth like people that goes out and promotes themselves without having to be on the stand.
Yeah, like me. I mean, I'm
yes, of course, Paul.
Yeah, I'm quiet and below the radar.
But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think to be credible, you've got to be credible.
Yeah.
And if you're flaky when it comes to telling me about what you do as a business,
but you don't have to do that on stage. You can do that by meeting people, can't you?
But Paul's talking about networking.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. I go to an awful lot of networking events, and you know, you're forced to talk to people. Yeah. But actually, the number of people that are able to coherently tell me what they do and why they're the best thing, you know, or the best person that does what they do, is quite small.
Yeah. And the other thing I find, which ties it back into all the good things that you do, is that quite often the reason they can't tell you is because they don't know.
Yeah.
What they've got is a business with no focus.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they'll go, oh, I'll do this and a bit of that and a bit of this and a bit of that. And you go, for who? Why?
Mm.
And they haven't really actually got a business. What they've got is a collection of things that they know how to do that they've kind of gone, oh, right. Have a rummage round in there and see if there's anything you fancy.
And the other thing is that because it is very rare that someone will come up with something that no one's ever launched before, they tend to look at their competitors and they think they've got to do the same thing that they're doing. And someone actually said to me yesterday about, I've been told I have to do Facebook Live. And I just said, why?
Why
do you have to do it? And because that's what everyone's doing now. And I said, but that's what everyone's doing. And she'd actually said, you know, my feed is just full of everyone doing Facebook Live. And I said, precisely. So you're not looking at it. You know, how can that be a good way of marketing your business? It'd be much better to think of a creative way of capturing people's attention.
Mm.
And that's what I try and focus on, that what can you do that's different that will make your business stand out and not look the same as everyone else?
Absolutely.
But you're right, Paul. Product and service, in the first instance, are at the heart of your business.
Mm.
And that, for me, is where it all starts.
Yeah.
And there are some brilliant people out there doing that. I mean, Joe, for example, at Heating Hub, Stove Hub, they're great at that. I met a lady the other night at a curry networking evening that does pest control, and she was the most passionate.
Did she sort you out?
Most passionate, knowledgeable person in that context, in terms of being able to talk about her business, that I've ever come across. And you know what I did on the back of that? And this is why it's important.
You smashed a rat.
No. So I went away from I went away from that curry night.
Yeah.
This is a curry. So I'm off duty. I'm having a curry.
Yeah, yeah.
And
did you have a beer with it as well?
I did have a beer, but only the one. And the next morning, I got straight on to Darren at Channel FM. And I said, Darren, you need to meet this person because I bet you outsource pest control when you have a requirement to do that. He said, we do, and actually we're looking for someone that knows what they're doing at the moment. And I referred and made that connection just on the back of meeting this person once, and that's the power of it.
I think that's a really good example, and this is part of what I was referring to with the ability to present your business in a face-to-face way. I've met people that are passionate about what they do. When I met them, I didn't know I needed their business. And when I finished talking to them, I've hired them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I went in there not even knowing I needed it. You know, I'll give you a classic example. Dean Webster from Southeast Timber and Dam. I got chatting to Dean about Dam, you know. And I start off, Dean Dam, yeah. And he starts talking to me about it. And I suddenly realised I had Dam in mind. I didn't even know I had it. And it suddenly dawned on me when he described what it looked like. I said, come and look at this. And I ended up getting him to fix a problem that I didn't know I had until he told me I had it, if you see what I mean. And it's the same with something like pest control, I would imagine. You know, if this lady's passionate about it and she says, oh, you can do something about pigeons or ants or whatever.
Wasps, the whole lot, yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So we're kind of running out of time a bit now, Denise, but it's a fascinating discussion. And I think we've all kind of got a feel for where we need to be going with this. So from your point of view, at the moment, what are the kind of things that you're working on? What are the kind of what's grabbing your attention? What are you passionate about doing? And where do you want to go with your business?
Okay. So I'm working on some really interesting projects, actually. I've got a client who has a solution, which actually I can launch on here. Mm-hmm. So we are talking to major food chains about this this solution, which is a deep clean on wood. And it helps to remove particularly sticky...
furniture polish.
sticky wood surfaces. So if there's anyone out there, I have 8 samples.
Sticky wood. Sticky wood.
Yeah, sticky right. wood. Sticky so wood. Anyone's got a particularly
That's
sticky...
That's pretty niche, isn't it?
...sticky table. I want to hear about your sticky tables. And I have 8...
Are we sure about this?
8 products that, that you can try. But that's an example of market research that I'm doing at the moment, which will be to launch this product UK-wide. And Fania, who is a lady that runs Ling Coatings, is a very talented inventor who deals with lots of different projects. So she's one client that I'm very excited about. The heating hub, we finished the hot dogs campaign, which was incredibly successful.
That was good, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. We had hundreds of thousands of impressions across Twitter and Facebook.
There was also another good thing that Stove Hub did. Involving sesame seeds.
Oh yes, and they do. They have a stove trailer. So
did they take that
and they
to the county show as well recently.
They did, yeah. Mm. So they invite people to cook on their stove, and Paul very kindly came along and.
I'm
on my best behaviour, so I can't actually say it.
Served up half cooked tuna and poisoned everyone.
Yeah. Well, he had some special sauce which. He managed to spill all over the place, so that was it.
And made a mess in the process.
Absolutely. That's the whole point of cooking, is to make a mess.
Yeah. But, so projects that I like working on, looking at a business that might be able to be launched as a franchise across the UK. So really big things, as well as just small two-hour training sessions.
Fantastic.
Well, you hadn't mentioned that before then, but you do an intensive...
Do.
Social media.
Do-do. Let's talk do-do.
Do-do. Not the dodo, the do-do.
Yeah.
You do a two-hour intensive social media training session, don't you? For what, £150?
£150. Right. And it is intense, and everyone who's done it goes away with their head full of loads of different facts and things.
And I know people that have gone through that and kind of are big fans of it because
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
They were exactly the people that kind of, the kind of the portraits that we were painting in terms of I don't know how to use it, I don't know how to get started, and now all of a sudden they're out there doing it.
They are. It makes a big difference, and most of them have quadrupled their followers within weeks, and saying to me, I really understand what I'm doing now. Yeah. So,
and I think for me, a large part of it as well is it puts you back in control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is important because when you've got control, there's a certain level of reassurance with that, isn't
it? Well, it's bespoke to them. So I'm talking about their business. I show them how I would contact their ideal customers and the types of conversations that I would have on their behalf. Mm-hmm. And because I find that fairly easy to do, it helps them to think, I could do that.
And when you put that in the context of, there's 20 or 30 people that you need to be engaging with in order to kind of achieve what you want to achieve.
Yeah.
That actually, breaking it down into kind of bite-sized chunks like that, makes it so much more achievable, doesn't it?
And realistic. Does. And then they can walk away on their own. Right. I'm not charging them for long-term monthly fees.
Yeah.
They just learn.
Yeah. Cool. Very good. We could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. Denise, if people want to find out more about you, all the things you do, or to... get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is on Twitter, The Myelin Focus. I do have a website, but to be honest, I do very little on there. So they can check that out at themyelinfocus.com.
Fantastic.
Denise is also a dab hand at producing her own GIFs. And
I have noticed there was one particular GIF that was really open to interpretation and got young Martin here all hot and bothered.
Yes, a few people commented on the champagne shaking GIF.
That wasn't my GIF. That was Amanda's, wasn't it?
I seem to remember my technique
was under question.
You were
in the GIF.
Yeah.
If you want to have a look at that, it's at Denise EEZ Wilton.
I've not pinned that GIF.
We'll do it for you.
Denise, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Really great. Great to see you again. Do stay with us for the last few minutes of the show. I want to tell you about Dragon Co-working in Rochester. The desks are in, the coffee machine's on, the draft beer is being installed, 80% of the office space is filled. The new members so far are Clockwork Moggy, ZC Social Media, Molly Moodle, but there's still some office space and hot desking available for a lucky few. If anyone fancies a proper coffee and a tour of our new community, please direct message us. But the main thing is they're holding an open evening. Dragon is go on the 21st of July. Yeah, that's this Friday at 6:30 p.m. It's a great opportunity for everyone to come along and see the workspace, plus to enjoy local bands, beers, fiery treats, and all kinds of things going on. So do come along. That's dragoncoworking.com. It's at the St. George's Hotel in...
New Road Avenue in Chatham.
Thank you, Denise. New Road Avenue. She's from over that way. Strewed, actually. But.
Thank you.
That's all right. So dragoncoworking.com, where she said, at the St. George's Hotel is the back of it. Or you can email Roland, who's the owner, roland@dragoncoworking.co.uk. But we're all going. We'll see you there. It's going to be loads of fun. Come down. There's loads of things happening this Friday evening. Do it. You can read one more email and that's it.
Okay. Local firm McIntyre Hudson have been rated a top employer for school leavers. So well done, accountancy firm and MHA, McIntyre Hudson. I know a few people that work there. So they've got offices in Canterbury, Maidstone, have been recognised as one of the UK's best places to work for people leaving school or college. So if you have a young son or daughter who's about to leave school or college and they're perhaps looking for a career in accountancy, bookkeeping, tax, all sorts of disciplines there, I think you could do a lot worse than look at MHA McIntyre Hudson. Well done, guys.
Fantastic. I've got an email here from the Kent and Victor Chamber. Join us for a barbecue-style buffet. Enjoy chicken, sausages, burgers, fish and side salads while overlooking the lake from the hotel's sunny patio area. Each attendee to leave with a cooling summer treat. Take the opportunity, put your business in the spotlight, highlights its products and services and how these can help other businesses. Make new contacts, generate new leads, share ideas with fellow business people. This is all happening on the 20th of July. That will be Thursday.
Gosh.
11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's at the Hotel Campanile in Dartford. And that's at the Crossways Business Park, 1 Clipper Boulevard West, Dartford.
That's the lovely Kaz Macklin that runs that.
It is.
She did a really funny tweet about that on sausages that made me laugh.
Eddie is the hotel manager. He's brilliant. And the reference to the water, because there's a pond out
there. There's a lake outside.
So yeah. I'm only assuming that Kaz is going to push people in.
I would imagine so.
And that's your cold, wet surprise that you're going to leave with,
whatever
you were referencing.
Yeah, if you want to book your place on that, if you go to kentandvictorchamber.co.uk/events.
Denise and I, of course, will be at Mamma Mia. At the Marlowe Theatre.
You're in it.
Canterbury. No, we're not. We're meeting
Take
the cast.
Take a chance on me.
We'll be meeting the cast and networking there.
You're really keen on this, aren't you?
I love it.
You're really keen on this. You like a bit of ABBA, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Cool. Good. Right. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show where we bring you the news and... information from the Federation of Small Business. I'm going to run through some of the things that are happening. There's a Women in Business brunch. That's today, so you don't want to go to that because it was this morning. You don't want to do that because that's cancelled. There's an FSB expert clinic.
Doing well, then.
Yeah, yeah. There's an FSB expert clinic on Wednesday, the 26th of July, and it's at Gillingham Golf Club, and it's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And there's also a Women in Business Dartford event on Tuesday, the 1st of August at 10 a.m. And that's at the Base Point Business Centre. Martin.
I want to talk about making tax digital. Not because I want to talk about making tax digital, but because it's all change again.
Yep, they've changed.
So I believe it was last week. So HMRC announced that the making tax digital threshold was now going to be raised to the VAT threshold, which is £85,000.
Yep.
I think previously it was £10,000, wasn't it?
Yep.
So I think, you know, common sense has certainly prevailed on that level. But ultimately, at some point, we are all going to be affected by the drive towards making tax digital. What were you going to say?
I was just going to have a bit of a rant. I'm getting so fed up with politicians. How many times are they going to have a U-turn? Why don't they investigate before they make a rule rather than afterwards? Yeah. It would really help.
Yeah.
So fools.
What I was going to say is that it's, again, you know, as with Ricky, as with Denise, it's so important to get the right advice here and to understand what your commitments are in terms of complying with the law and you know, the ever-changing kind of landscape that is MTD. One of the guests that we've had on the show, Kane and Beer, Paul Kane from Kane and Beer, has written a very up-to-date blog on this that he gave me yesterday. So you'll find that on the blog section of Supply My Business. But basically, he sets out very clearly, I think, what our individual business commitments are going to be as we all move towards 2019 and beyond as small businesses. So get yourselves informed because information is power, and that's the best way to avoid fear and apathy, I would suggest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is going to affect us all. We all need to kind of embrace it, I would suggest, sooner rather than later, rather than kind of bury our heads in the sand. But at least the threshold has been moved.
Okay. Well, you might be interested in this opportunity then, which neatly flows from what you just said. And it's a chance to shape the new Small Business Commissioner digital service. The new Small Business Commissioner will help small businesses resolve payment-related issues with larger businesses. The Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy will shortly be testing a new digital service to support the Commissioner's work and are looking for small business owners to take part. If you'd like to take part, please contact Will Black at the Federation of Small Business Head Office. So if you'd like to be part of a beta test on Digital Services Commission, email Will Black at the FSB.
And that ties in with another new product that's being launched to reduce late payments for businesses.
Yep. This show isn't thrown together, you know. It's produced within an inch of its life. All of this flows flows neatly from one to the other.
But the number of businesses that I speak to that bemoan the fact that, you know, their customers haven't actually paid them for the products and services that they've delivered. So there is a new debt management product that's been launched by the FSB for small businesses and the self-employed. And the whole point of that is to help recover debt timely without having to kind of charge fees and an additional commission. So you can find a press release about that on the FSB website, but I think that's something that a lot of businesses would find quite useful. And I think to an extent we're our own worst enemies, because I've worked in businesses previously where we didn't ask our customers to pay us, therefore they didn't pay us.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, even if it helps businesses understand what their aged debtors look like in the first instance, in order that they can then pick up the phone and chase that money, I think that would be a big step forward.
Absolutely. And just to round off on this FSB news, there's a new website which connects small businesses with business schools at universities. Yeah. A new website has been launched to connect small business managers and entrepreneurs with leading business academics, providing advice and support. The Small Business Charter website offers access to advice written by experts, as well as the tool that allows businesses to search for business schools based on their area of expertise. The site also helps find local and regional support and networking events in specific areas. And the new website is smallbusinesscharter.org. Smallbusinesscharter.org. And that brings us to the end of our FSB News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
We're fast approaching the end of the show. So I need to tell you what's coming up later on this very radio station. So if you stay tuned to Channel Radio, at 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benig with the Kent Creative Live show. And today on Kent Creative Live, we have Nucleus Arts, David Ellis and Sheila Bell. So the guests are Nucleus Arts, David Ellis and Sheila Bell. And that's on the Kent Creative Live show, which is at 4 p.m. on channelradio.co.uk. That's followed at 5 o'clock by the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, he of the Stripy Socks. And Craig will spend 2 hours of celebrity interviews and coolly chosen music for your delight and pleasure from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., we will be joining Mr. Joey Whaler Joey Wheeler with a rockabilly show.
Yeah. I like rockabilly music.
Yeah, there you go. So you've got to listen to a bit of Joey Wheeler at 7 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, we move over to our favourite year, 1967. I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, a show focusing on the music from the 1960s. And then, of course, as always, on a Tuesday night, we round off Tuesdays with at 10 o'clock.
It's Club Culture with Boy George. One, two.
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always on a Tuesday night, we round off Tuesdays at 10 o'clock with a Club Culture show with an absolutely wonderful Mr. Boy George. So thank you for listening. I want to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsor, which were Phoenix Interim Recruitment. Thank you to them and to all of our ongoing show sponsors, the lovely folks that supply my business, Rift Accounting, Best Business Events, Channel FM. Yeah, I know them all.
So we can, social media.
ZC Social Media. I know all of my sponsors. Thank you very much. Yeah. So thank you to all of them for sponsoring the Business Bunker show and making what we do possible. We really are grateful for all of the things that you do for us. We'd like to thank you to today's show guests, which were Mr. James Sinclair of the Entrepreneurs Network, Mr. Ricky Fay of Rick's Tech Support, the lovely Denise Wilton of the Milan Focus, my wonderful co-host, Mr. Marvelous Martin White. Thank you all so much for your input to the show today.
Thanks for having us,
Thank
Paul.
You for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Most of all, thank you to the listener. Who braved the whole thing, and for all the people
they switched off half an hour ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Laura did. She switched off until Denise came on, apparently. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you to all of those. We'll be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.